Hi, I'm Maxine Crump, and I'm in for Jim Inkster this morning. Schools have been continually changing in East Baton Rouge Parish for decades. There have been a variety of types of choices of schools, and it's been quite a landscape for parents to navigate. This morning, we'll be talking to four of the parents from diverse backgrounds and who have made equally diverse choices about the schools for their children. Also, we'll be talking later with Larry Garner, blues man from Baton Rouge, who will be talking about Muddy Waters in its 100th year. And Bill Bryan, who's the president of the Baton Rouge Blues Foundation, who will be talking about the upcoming Blues Gala that will be honoring Muddy Waters. We'll be right back after the news. Good morning. Welcome to the Jim Inkster Show. I'm Maxine Crump, sitting in for Jim Inkster. And we're talking to parents who've made a variety of school choices. They're from a variety of backgrounds and a variety of school choices, as is the case in schools in East Baton Rouge Parish and this area these days. So I want to introduce you to the parents, and I want to invite you to join the conversation later. So I'm going to introduce first Carlos Thomas, who is an assistant professor at Southern University, husband and father. And his son just started the first grade at the Foreign Language Academic Immersion Program, a K-5 magnet within the East Baton Rouge Parish Public Schools. And it's rated an A school. Carlos ditched a private foreign language school and endured the waiting list to get his son in. He shared his experience in a community on WRKF. And Carlos also participated in the fight against the attempted breakaway school district in East Baton Rouge Parish. Catherine Kassam is the wife and of the CEO of Albemarle and the mother of three. Her oldest son is at Episcopal, and she has two children at Episcopal. And her youngest is in the eighth grade in the Gifted and Talented program at Glasgow Middle School. That's a C-rated school. Having lived primarily in Richmond, Virginia, and St. Louis, she says even the private schools in Baton Rouge have fallen short. She doesn't think she's given her kids the best by having them in private school. She's also the president of the East Baton Rouge School Foundation, a new booster organization for the public schools that, among other things, is trying to jumpstart chess clubs at schools around the city. Tiffany Temple works in the office at a moving company and is the mother of a 14-year-old son. Her son is now an engineering student in Scotlandville Magnet School, a D school, and he went to preschool speech therapy program in the Baton Rouge Speech and Hearing Foundation. Then he went to Audubon Elementary, currently a D school. And then McKinley Magnet School of Visual and Performing Arts, which is a B school. All those schools are within the Baton Rouge Public School System. LaToya Johnson is the mother of three sons. LaToya gave an account, and I'd like to read what you said. LaToya said, "I feel this has changed his life and has been the best thing for him. When he entered pre-K, I could tell something was wrong, that he was not picking up on things like his brothers did. And so I told the staff something was wrong," she says. "I was told he will be okay once he gets in K, kindergarten, I guess. The next year, he still had problems, and the school plan was not to figure out what the problem was, but to hold him back. I wrote a letter about my concerns. He passed the test to move on, but I knew he needed help. The first week of the first grade, the teacher told me he is not going to pass. I had a meeting with the vice principal, two guidance counselors, and pupil appraisal for nothing to get done, and my son got held back. Before school started the new season, in the first grade, I had a meeting with the vice principal, and he told me something that they did have to hold him back. I was still waiting for help. My son was left behind during first grade twice, and still unable to read. So the last quarter of the year at Hosanna, he had an F in reading, so the school put a plan in place to help him. I'm not sure what they did, but he had a C in reading in the second quarter and no longer needs my help as much. So she described her oldest son as an honor student at a magnet high school, and her middle child is 10 and has good grades. So looking at all the parents faced with their children and the choices they made, I would like to start with Carlos and get your take on the fact that I would say this is probably the first generation where parents has had to make these kinds of broad school choices. So what went into you coming up with choosing, let's say, foreign language emphasis for your children?
Sure. So let me preface by stating that my wife and I have a healthy respect and appreciation for the history and tradition of private and parochial schools here in the South Louisiana region. It's a unique place, and the presence of the Catholic Church, obviously, and the history of Catholicism here plays heavily into the presence of private and parochial schools here. Having said that, my wife and I are products of public education. We've traveled extensively, and I actually worked internationally as a consultant and as an auditor. Having experienced globalization firsthand, professionally, I know that our kids, our being the United States' kids, we really need to broaden our perspectives. And if we have an opportunity to afford our kids the acquisition of skill sets that'll make them globally competitive, we need to seize that. Language is a huge part of that. When I would go to Brazil, when I would go to Argentina, I was at a disadvantage despite my name being Carlos. I knew no Spanish and no Portuguese. And so I was always I had to have a translator, and there was so much lost in translation. Moreover, when we look at our state, we tend to be very insular. Some of the great things about our state, the familial ties and the fact that, there really are no degrees of separation, can also play to our disadvantage. And so it's important that we go above and beyond as parents in this state to expose our kids to more and to let them know that, quote unquote, the other is not something that's bad. We have to expose our kids to the world outside of Louisiana. And so this is part of the reason why we started our children at a foreign language immersion preschool and have since transitioned out, but with the same sort of curriculum in the public setting.
So your strong draw, if I'm understanding you, is that you wanted your children to have a diverse experience and to have a global experience because of the way of the world.
Sure. 21st century competitiveness is global competitiveness. It's not with Florida. It's not with Texas or Mississippi. It's the world. Their competition will be coming from Vinhedo, Brazil, Cork, Ireland, Cape Town, South Africa. They have to be globally competitive.
Okay, so I'm going to come back and find out were there any drawbacks in your school experiences,
sure.
But I'm going to just hear from everyone else first for how they made their choices. So Catherine Kassam, your husband's head of Albemarle, and I would take that would mean probably you could choose whatever school you wanted in Baton Rouge. You probably could afford to. But you chose Episcopal for two of your children and then the Gifted and Talented program for a public school, Glasgow Middle. So talk about what went into your choices. What were your emphasis? What was important to you as you chose?
I think that our family feels a little bit like Carlos in terms of when we moved to Baton Rouge, we were coming from having lived in several different places in the United States. And our first thought is how do we prepare our children for their futures, not our past or the education we experienced. And it is a very global world, a very competitive world. We looked at the peer set that our children would be with. We looked at safety of the schools. We looked at the diversity. And we're big believers that kids are like seeds, and you don't know what God has given you. You've got to nourish it and water it, but kids are going to come out and be the plant they were meant to be. And so every school isn't necessarily a fit for the family. It needs to be how do we look for the school environments that's best for each kid and their individual personality, passions, interests, behaviors, et cetera. So that's why we've ended up in two different formats, and it could potentially even end up three, depending on the direction that our children go.
I see. Okay. And I'm going to come back to all of you, but I want to go now to Tiffany. So, Tiffany, you working at a moving company. Have you lived in Baton Rouge all your life?
I have.
Okay, because they have backgrounds of being out of Baton Rouge. So mm-hmm. you worked in. So looking at your child right now is at mm-hmm. a D school, but it's a magnet school.
It is.
And your child had to go into a pre-speech therapy program in the beginning. So looking at all those choices that you've had to make, so mm-hmm. so talk about what was key in the choices you made.
There were several keys. Like Catherine, though, knowing the needs of my son, him being enrolled at the Baton Rouge Speech and Hearing Foundation for a speech delay, really set a high standard for what I expected in the public school system that I knew we were moving into. Private school was not an option for me. And so at the Baton Rouge Speech and Hearing Foundation, just as far as, of course, the academic part, but also the speech part, there was a standard there that was higher than that we experienced first going into Audubon Elementary, which is a traditional public school setting. And it gave my son a certain advantage there to excel. That school at the time was not a D school. It was a, if I remember correctly, it may have been a C school. And then we moved on to McKinley Middle Magnet. There, Tristan, what I've always believed is that when you work hard, and hard work has been a part of my family's legacy, Expert Moving is our family's business. When you work hard and you make good grades, you set your standard for high achievement, you have options. And for us, magnet school was an option. Tristan went there and he excelled. He had opportunities that he wouldn't have had or at least taken advantage of in any other school. My son is very athletic, loves to read, but had never thought of taking dance. There at McKinley Middle, he took dance under a world-class instructor, Ms. Thomas, there. He had an opportunity to travel to Italy, to perform in Disney World, dancing. He was in the band and so on and so forth. The types of experiences he's had has been life-changing. And so from there, as his interests change, as his world expands, his knowledge expands, And I want to constantly be on the pulse of that and putting him where he can thrive and grow so that it's a school where overachievers like my son are encouraged, are celebrated, an environment where he's safe, an environment where he's challenged even. And so from there, we move on to Scotlandville Magnet High School. My son wants to play football, and he's pretty good at it. One day you might be interviewing him. and so that's why we didn't choose Baton Rouge High, only because he wants to play football. And so there he's at Scotlandville Magnet. He's in the engineering program there. He's excited about it. And so I have my magnet student playing football, doing the things that he loves, both academically and athletically. And another thing, look at the grades, the scores of those schools. I also believe that what you put into it is what you get out of it. And so he can be at a D school, but in every situation, in every school that we've been in, there has been an opportunity for change, and we've been a part of that change. And as long as we're part of the solution, great things are going to happen for my son, for the students that he's in school with, and for those schools. So that's been.
So we hear the driving force behind your school choices, and you had to make them without having all of the options that someone with more money would have had.
Right.
So, LaToya, we have less than a minute to hear from you, so let's hear about your school choice. You had a lot of challenges with your son's ability.
Well, I did. It was my youngest son. My oldest son is a magnet honor student. He was at Baton Rouge High, wanted to play sports, so this year we pulled him to try something new. My other child took the leap, passed with basics, and we laughed at him because he had basics and not masteries and advances. But my baby boy was falling through the cracks.
What I'll do, LaToya, is pick up after the break with you. I'm going to go ahead and let everybody know that they can call 297-5633 if they want to get in on the conversation when we come back. Okay, I'm back. I'm Maxine Crump in for Jim Inkster. And we're talking to four parents who've made a variety of school choices. And what we learned before the conversation they talked about at the break is that in their variety of school choices, they had a variety of children to choose from and to choose for their needs. So we were listening to LaToya and the choice that she made with her son. In the case with her son, there were lots of challenges in his needs for the school. So let's talk about the choice you had to make when you chose for your son, LaToya.
Okay, he's not challenged to where he could get in the programs like special ed and a learning disability. He doesn't have dyslexia. So there's programs in place to help those type of children. But he wasn't that. He just needed a little extra attention. He just needed one-on-one time with an aide, with a volunteer, with anybody, so that he could kind of catch up and get on level. And so those type of kids, I've realized, kind of fall through the cracks. They kind of get left behind. Those are those kids that get to the eighth grade and don't pass the leap, and no one can help them properly, and so they drop out. And I didn't want that to be my child. So I could do private school for one, but I kind of felt like, well, how do you put one child in private school and not the others? And I felt bad about it. And it just happened that they had the scholarship program open to EBR Parish. I waited until the last day. I debated about it. I applied, and he was accepted. And that's how my child ended up in private school at Hosanna Christian Academy. And like I said in the email, I don't know what they did. But in one quarter, from the first to the second quarter, he went from an F to a C. Oh, he'll tell me, Mom, I don't need your help with homework. I got it. Excuse us. I mean, it changed. It changed. I really, really believe it changed and altered the course of my child's life.
So you believe he got more attention? You said he needed a little more.
When I would pop up at the school every now and then, I would see they had an aide in the hallway with one child reading. So I'm assuming they just pulled him out and made a plan for that individual child and put it in. I never asked. I just, thank you.
Okay, to get in on the conversation, call 297-5633. And if you're out of the area, toll free 877-217-5757. So I'm going to ask you, most of you didn't have one child, just Tiffany had one. But the others, you had to make a school choice for each child. Talk about that challenge some.
Sure. So I have a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. And, my son is attending Flame downtown. And daughter.
Flame is the foreign language immersion.
Academic immersion, yes. Okay. Formerly South Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Great school, great principal, great teachers. We feel very fortunate to have that opportunity without having to pay a premium. Mm. And then my daughter, she is in preschool at Runnels. Awesome, awesome environment. Just fortifying and cultivating her personality, her creative personality to the nth degree. And, you know, as we have, you know, progress through the kids' lives, we're starting to see the personalities manifest differently and different characteristics. And so, you know, it may be that when my daughter is able to go into kindergarten or first grade, that we choose to send her to a place that may cultivate some of her more creative side, despite our willingness and wanting her to actually be fluent in the languages. And we may have to supplement that on the side, outside of the school system. Which is another concept that I think needs to be talked about and discussed, is that learning doesn't stop when the kids leave school. As parents, we have to engage our kids, and there are plenty of resources in the community for kids to take advantage of to help cultivate all the aspects of their person. You guys had on yesterday, I think, Kids Orchestra, which is a phenomenal program that, you know, I hope continues to expand across the city. So, you know, the kids may end up going to school together. They may not.
Well, it certainly is becoming very apparent that it used to be school was just school. You sent your children to school and it was school.
Right.
So definitely you're indicating you can't just turn them over to school anymore. No. You have to make choices, not only just which school they're going to enter, but each kid.
Absolutely.
And follow through with everything there. Absolutely. Catherine, you also mentioned that you have your children in two different schools, so made a variety of choices there. Talk more about that.
So, yes, we've made different choices. We're blessed to be able to afford to look at all of the different public and private options that are on the table. And one of the things that we find interesting in this community is there seems to be a lot of debate about, is it public or is it private, or is it public versus charter? And the first thing I want to invite our community to think about is, yes, it's all of those things. Right. All of us share this passion around having choices for our children. And I think if we want to attract brains, bucks, and business to this community, and we want to continue to produce children that can compete globally, we have to say, how do we have strong private schools? How do we have wonderful public schools? How do we have a variety of special needs schools for those on the different spectrums and learning disabilities? And yes, how do we even have some charter programs that are bringing innovative, nationally Absolutely. Benchmarked programs to our community? We need to have all those things to be able to attract people from all over the globe, much less all over the United States, to our city, because as our community thrives, many of the issues that we debate every day will get better.
Right.
So it's almost sounding like a school mall. In other words, I mean, it may be one mall, but it's a school mall, and there are a variety of choices you have to make. And so any thoughts from LaToya, Tiffany, on navigating that
in your case with a variety of children? I really felt bad separating my two youngest because they're 22 months apart. They've always been together. And I had to, because the youngest needed the help. He needed a different environment. So that kind of changed my mind. It's okay. So I had three kids at three different schools, and it's okay. You have to do what's best for that child. I did learn that. That was a lesson learned for me.
Mm-hmm. So if you want to get in on the conversation, 297-5633, or toll free out of the area, 877-217-5757. Tiffany, you had just one child, but in what were you navigating in the landscape of schools?
Mostly... Well, first I want to piggyback on something Catherine was saying, and that is just how many options we really do have here in East Baton Rouge Parish. We have charter schools that are coming up each year. We have more and more charter school options. We have our public schools, but there are also alternatives for those who are in that debate and considering private school, private versus public. Well, even in the public school, there are the magnet programs. And our district is doing a better job of making those programs, expanding them across all the levels, all the schools. Whereas, for example, at Audubon Elementary, when my son was there, the magnet program was not available there at first. I think by the time he made it to fourth grade, there was a magnet program available. There was always the gifted program, but there are many choices, many options, many ways that we can supplement and enhance our children's education, because you're right, Carlos, it doesn't stop at school and it doesn't start at school.
That's right.
You know?
So I want to talk more about that, but I want to find out, is it reasonable to expect that you will have everything you want in one school that you choose?
No.
No.
No. No.
Not
no.
If you are a forward-thinking, savvy parent who is engaged in your child's day-to-day development.
Right.
No. And neither should you expect that, okay? There has to be an extension to your home and likewise an extension from your home to the school in order to fully develop your child to be 21st century competitive.
That's right.
So it seems like you make the choice for your children. You make the choice that you think it's best. What do you look for from your children to determine your choices? Or, I mean, are they engaged in the conversation with you at all in the choice of the school? What if they say, look, I really don't want to go to that school? When my sister came home in the second grade, she said, I'm not going back to school because I don't like the teacher.
Sure.
So where do you...
I should have listened and I didn't. I wanted Baton Rouge High. It was disastrous. It was bad. He didn't want
to
go there.
You should have listened to your child,
I should have listened. He did not want to go to Baton Rouge High. I looked at it. You've always been magnet. Like, why would you not want to go to the magnet high school? It's the A school in the city. Disastrous. I should have weighed my options a little better and maybe looked into another school that had a magnet program, because he does want to play sports.
So you were thinking magnet, and he was thinking sports, and that was missing for him big
right.
time.
And so I should have probably came to a middle ground. But, you know, your first kid, you're allowed some mistakes with your first one. So I've learned my lesson the hard way. Yes, I learned the hard way to kind of sit and listen, take all your options into consideration, and so.
So we're hearing from the four parents in here. If there are any parents out there who want to join the conversation and add their thoughts to what we have here, although we have quite a variety of thought here, but some very involved parents. So you can call 297-5633 or 877-217-5757 out of the area. So, Catherine, you also, the president of the East Baton Rouge Schools Foundation.
Yes.
And talk more about your organization, what it does, and what parents, who is engaged in this organization, and who is it trying to reach?
So the Foundation for East Baton Rouge School System is a newly created 501c3 organization that's set up to accelerate science, technology, engineering, arts, and math curriculum within the public schools. And it is owned by everyone, public or private, but primarily those involved in the public school. And it's where it can encourage financial as well as philanthropic and in-kind giving to support and further our 21st century education techniques. We've started with programs in robotics and in chess and working on critical thinking skills, and we hope to grow. But it's very newly formed. We have a new website that has been created, and it's really designed to accelerate education and opportunities in the public school system.
In the public school system.
I think you were going to really say something. Commendable, and it goes
Tiffany.
Back. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry, Tiffany.
No, it's okay. I just wanted them to know it's you talking.
And it goes back to something I was thinking, and Carlos kind of touched on, with you extending yourself to the school and your resources and your means. And sometimes you may be in a position where you don't have the means, but you can leverage your resources between other parents. Just us meeting each other and talking, I learned about a new program that I can enroll my son in, you know, and that's been my wonderful experience in the school system, where I've had active PTOs, and when there was not a PTO, I helped to establish one, you know, again, being a part of the solution. And so when you bring those resources, those added enrichment activities and programs to the school, it makes for a better educational experience, you know?
Alexia, I'd like to piggyback on something that Catherine also said, and that was, you know, we don't need to demonize any of the different types of schools that we have here. Instead, I think we need to welcome a healthy degree of investigation and research on what's really being offered, because if you listen to general sentiment, you know, you'll hear people talk about one over the other. But if you really want to be very frank and very critical, you know, it's difficult to get a 21st century education anywhere.
Ah, so the interesting thing that I'm hearing in this group is that If you hear the reports of the difference in the different schools and the fight about which is better, you get parents more confused,
sure,
in thinking that they have to choose the best one,
right,
instead of looking at it the way all of you
right
have looked at it, and that is the overall needs of your children and their education and what you want for them overall,
right,
which may make a variety of choices.
Sure. You know, that you have to move outside of East Baton Rouge Parish to actually get the education, the public education that you need. Which, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the case. Well, I would argue that it's not that way, but that we succumb very often to the sentiment that may be incorrect in general society without doing our own research. Again, I'm sorry.
I think now with the choices, because this is really the last two or three years, EBR has finally stepped into giving, you know, parents a choice, parents
sure
that can't necessarily afford private school a choice. But it was limited. It's
yeah
still limited. The new charter schools are still limited. So what about everyone else? We need to work on getting higher quality teachers, you know, putting more standards, not just LEAP tests, but more standards on the schools. Let's work on our public schools too. Those kids deserve a good education,
sure,
just like everyone else. And I know EBR Parish has a lot of things in the works, but it's going to take everyone has to stand behind. Don't complain about the D and F schools. Let's work
sure
together and get them up.
I
Let's
think,
work on it.
I think you are an example of of, for lack of a better word, a prototype of what a parent has to be, and that's an advocate, an active advocate for his or her child to make sure that they get the services and the education that they need and deserve. You didn't take no for an answer. You didn't accept someone telling you, well, your child can only do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
You kept looking for solutions and alternatives.
So Catherine has called, is in an organization that can help upgrade the schools, but is there also, as I'm hearing your conversation, a call for some sort of coalition among parents of varieties of school to help everyone know the resources, not necessarily an organization, but some sort of gathering of parents sometimes to share resources, because much of this is new, if I'm understanding you right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just launched a new thing this week. It's called Stand for a Dream, standforadream.com. And I think they're just trying to get parents, educators, taxpaying citizens, they want everyone to come together to come up with a plan to better our schools. So it's standforadream.com. It's brand new. They just launched it this week.
And it, what kind of organization is this? Do you know? I mean, who's it? Is it a part of the parish?
I thought it was coming from Department of Education. But okay. When I looked into it a little more, I think it's a private organization, Stand for Children Louisiana.
Okay.
And so it's just something new that they've come out with. Because the vouchers are working. You know, people, it was a big fight. But they're working, and I'm a testament to it. It's working for my child. It works. And so this is, I think, just to keep choices and options and get information out to people. People don't know. I have my friends call me all the time, well, how did you get him into Hosanna? They don't know. They don't know about the charter schools. They just, the information is not out there as good as we'd like it to be.
So this organization is to help get that information out there.
To help get it out.
The organization you're with, Catherine, is to help.
I feel like I'm in a really unique perch, if you will, because I am honored to serve as the first president of the Foundation for EBR, but I also sit on the founding committee and now the advisory board of New Schools for Baton Rouge, which is recruiting some of the nation's best charter schools to the community. And I'm very involved in Episcopal, which is a wonderful private school option in their Academic Excellence Fund. So, you know, I'm modeling, trying to work for all three so that we continue to strengthen all of our schools so that we're competing with the best out there globally. The world is hot on our tail.
Absolutely.
They're working very quickly to innovate, and we have to continue to invest in all the different options. What I invite us all to do is say, how do we model that behavior and demand that behavior from our leaders, from those that are involved in the community? We need to see change from within East Baton Rouge school system. They need to be open-minded, progressive, willing to think through new models. We need to ask those with New Schools for Baton Rouge and other organizations to work collaboratively with the groups that exist. We need to invite families to participate, show up at school board meetings. We need to weed out what's not working. If it isn't, let's tell them.
In 30 seconds, who wants to go last? Carlos, I saw you leaning toward the mic there.
Oh, believe it or not, I'm at a loss for words, but I second that emotion.
That's what was going on. He was seconding the motion. Well, it seems like there's a wide variety of school choices, and you parents have shown me that choice is just the way of the future in East Baton Rouge Parish, totally for education. Thank you. I'm Maxine Crump in for Jim Inkster, and you can call in and join the conversation because we're going to carry this conversation just for just a little while longer with the parents, and you can call in 297-5633 if you want to share your thoughts or ask questions to these parents because they have a variety of ideas. We have Carlos Thomas, who's his emphasis was foreign language for his children. Catherine Kassam, who is the president of the East Baton Rouge Schools Foundation, which is a new booster organization in public schools, and is trying to jumpstart chess clubs. And we have LaToya Johnson, who's the mother of three sons, and she is on the voucher program. And then there's Tiffany Temple, who works with a moving company and has her son in Scotlandville Magnet. So looking at all of these choices they've made, what I'm hearing them saying is choices aren't going to go away. This is the wave of the future for schools.
That's right.
And so I want to get you to share your ideas about how to live with this new landscape of, I would call it a school mall, like in a mall. There's one mall, but there are lots of stores. So
sure.
That's kind of the choices that it looks like now. I'm just using an unusual description here. But talk about the school marketplace, so to speak. and what needs to happen for people to have a new understanding of school choice instead of a enemy, competitive, combatant response to it, if I'm understanding you.
Well, if we continue with the analogy of the marketplace, you know, a consumer needs to be a well-informed consumer in order to make a good decision, to get best value for dollar. And that's how my wife and I looked at our decision to actually make the transition was, were we getting best value for dollar? Moreover, were we being outpriced in the marketplace? And so it just made sense for us to go ahead and make the switch because we felt that we could get the same or better services going the public route versus staying in the private market. But that came from a long process of debates, discussions. My wife is an attorney, and so it was very rough around the house a few months during this process. But once we basically did a cost-benefit analysis, it made sense. That didn't take away the anxiety of going into a new environment, of going into the unknown for our children. But what we did was we engaged and we continue to try to engage with the school to do two things. One, to have a presence there so they know who Carlos Mayo Thomas's parents are. But two, also to show that we are serious about education, not just for ourselves, but for all children who really, really deserve a chance to be competitive.
Is it helpful to really be engaged with the schools, and how do the schools respond to parents coming in a lot?
I think a lot of parents feel like the school doesn't want me there and that they're not going to value what they have to add. But that is far from the truth. And it has been my experience that it is not true at all. The schools welcome parent involvement. Yeah. The schools welcome parent resources. The school will oftentimes plan programs and activities just for parents to be involved. And so the schools that my son has attended, the doors are always open. And it's not just a saying. It's just not a cliche. It's very true. It's open to the parents. It's open to students. I'm a single parent. And so oftentimes my dear mom and dad, they'll come to the school to help out, to volunteer. And so at schools that my son has attended, they know me. They know my son's extended family as well. I think the schools welcome parent involvement.
So in your progressiveness, I think you're also head of household. So I think single parent is sometimes misnamed, isn't it? Because you're head of household.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yes. LaToya, you work more than one job. Is that right?
No.
Okay. It's Tiffany who works more than one job.
Yes.
Okay. So
I'm also a counselor. And in my counseling, oftentimes I'm in charter schools with children who may need some behavior redirection. But what I've experienced in the charter school setting, because that was my first in-depth, hands-on experience there, is that the students do a lot of, it certainly is a private school experience in a public setting, where the classroom sizes are much smaller, the attention given to children that need to that need a little bit more attention, they receive that in our charter schools. And so that's been my experience with charter schools. I think it's a great option. And Catherine, you talked about being with New School. They are doing phenomenal things and making sure that our charter school options are excellent options here in Baton Rouge, bringing the best of the best, not only in organizations that fund charter schools, but in the staff, the faculty and staff, they are helping to bring the best of the best to our city. And so charter schools are a great option, just like private and just like public.
Well, that's interesting because it sounds like none of the options are not okay. So what do you tell people when you tell them your option and they draw back at whatever your option is? What do you say, Carlos?
Just as I opened up, every family has to make the best choice for each child in their family. It's philosophical for me just because my mom taught high school, has taught school for 38 years, a product of public education. And so I'm going to look first at the public option for many of those reasons. It may come that as my son and daughter matriculate into secondary, that I may find a better option for them at a private school. I have no apologies about making that choice if that actually comes about. Now, what I hope that my wife and I will continue to do is to always support and be present in the public school setting, regardless of where our kids are going, because that is an extension of our community, and that's the foundation of most of the folks and their opportunities in the world and our society. So, you know, at whatever point in time that they present to need something else besides what the school system can offer them, we may make that choice. We hope not to. We will always look first at the public sector for those opportunities.
I think people will be very surprised to hear that with all of the different choices sitting in one room, that there isn't a huge amount of disagreement. It's like your focus is what's good for your child, and you're not making your school choice based on saying, this is better than this, this is best for my child. Catherine?
Well, just the one thing I wanted to add is when I moved here, and our family moved here 5 years ago.
From Virginia,
and previous before that, St. Louis. The message we got was, don't look at the public schools at all. You have to look at the private school. It's the only place you're going to get a strong, safe education. So we didn't even entertain any of the public school options at the time. We are thrilled to be at Episcopal. Our kids are getting a wonderful, well-rounded, whole child education. But I had one child who needed more accelerated curriculum and needed the gifted and talented services, and I make no apologies. I didn't know what a wonderful opportunity that program is for our, and I invite others to look at it.
Awesome. You have been great. Carlos Thomas, Catherine Kassam, Tiffany Temple, and LaToya Johnson. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
We'll be back and talk a little bit about the Blues Gala and Muddy Waters coming up.
I'm going down to Louisiana, honey, behind the sun. Well, you know, I just found out my trouble just begun. I'm going down in New Orleans, get me a mojo hand. I'm going down in New Orleans, get me a mojo hand.
Oh, take me with you, man, when you go.
I'm gonna show all you good-looking women just how to treat your man.
Let's go back to New Orleans, boys.
Okay, talking about Muddy Waters, that's him doing down in Louisiana, so you know the Muddy Waters connection. Muddy Waters turned 100 this year. I'm Maxine Crump. I'm in for Jim Engster, and we're going to be talking with Larry Garner, Baton Rouge blues man Larry Garner, about Muddy Waters, and we're also going to talk with Bill Bryant, who's the president of the Baton Rouge Blues Foundation, the foundation is honoring Muddy Waters in his Blues Gala this year on its 100th birthday. So good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Maxine. Hey, Larry.
That's Bill. So, hey, Larry. Do we have Larry? Okay, Larry? Are you on Larry? Larry, I need to hear you. Okay, so Larry's not here right now, but Bill, as the president of Baton Rouge Blues Foundation, let's talk about the idea that this Blues Foundation would celebrate Muddy Waters' 100th birthday this year. I think we lost Larry for a minute. We get him back. We'll get him on. So what is the value for the foundation of holding a gala to honor Muddy Waters' 100th birthday and his blues connection, Baton Rouge blues connection, which is Henry Gray, who played with him, Buddy Guy, who played with him, and Kenny Neal, who was strongly influenced by him as well. So Bill?
That's exactly correct. The main mission of the Baton Rouge Blues Foundation is to preserve and promote this wonderfully unique music that flowed out of the bayous of South Louisiana back in the 50s and the 60s. And actually, that music flowed to reach the rest of the world and was a huge influence on a lot of other genres of music. And as you mentioned, Muddy Waters, who was a phenomenon in Chicago blues, hired a young piano player out of Baton Rouge in 1956 named Henry Gray. And Henry was Muddy's main piano player for 12 years. And so Henry had that connection to the Chicago blues, and then he came back to Baton Rouge in the 60s and continued to perform that wonderful kind of blues here. And Kenny Neal's dad, Rafel, worked with Buddy Guy, and they all had a connection with Muddy Waters. And so, you know, there's this wonderful, like 6 degrees of separation kind of connection, and that Muddy Waters blues was sort of impacted by Henry Gray, and then now it's back here in Baton Rouge. And so there's a huge connection between Muddy and the swamp blues that came out of Baton Rouge.
Indeed, because actually Muddy was from Mississippi, although he went to Chicago to hone his talent. And Buddy Guy, who followed him from Letchworth, Louisiana, just went to meet him and ended up playing with him. But Buddy Guy already knew how to play when he left because he had made his own guitar out of screen wire. And,
that's right.
And so when Buddy heard him, he went with it. So do we have Larry now? Okay. How you doing, Larry?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Oh, good, good. So you are a strong advocate and fan and supporter and an idol of Muddy Waters. So talk about Muddy. We just had him doing down in Louisiana.
Yeah, well, I'm more affiliated with the Sons now. I mean, we play festivals and stuff together in Europe a lot.
Big Bill Morganfield?
Him and the other one. We grew up on Muddy just like we grew up on Howlin' Wolf, and all those guys were the only, like, blues we knew other than the local guys. I mean, WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee, Diggy Doo, all of them would play Muddy Waters, and it was kind of the signature. If you couldn't play a Muddy Waters or a Jimmy Reed, you just wasn't playing no blues. And so Muddy Waters is right there in the fiber of the blues around here.
Right, Diggy Doo was WXOK. He was the blues man, that blues DJ that everybody listened to at one time.
Yeah, that's back when the gospel went out, the blues just came right on. There was no commercial in between. And that's when a lot of radios got turned off in them holy houses.
So next year is called the British Invasion. And the British Invasion was influenced by Muddy Waters. And by the way, I want to mention Muddy Waters is a Grammy Award winner and named 17 on the top 100 list of Rolling Stones magazine. So,
yeah.
So talk about him, and what was it about him that was such a strong influence?
Well, because they hadn't seen anything like Muddy Waters and Willie Dixon, that group, when they went over there. They hadn't seen anything like that, that vibrant spirit, that soul, that just reaching out in the audience and shaking your inner being. And they hadn't seen anything like that. And those guys fell right in love with them right from the beginning. And Mick Jagger and that bunch, they were too young to get in the clubs, and Muddy them would let them stand on the back and listen at them. And that's why they call themselves the Rolling Stones, because of Muddy being nice to them and letting them sit out back and listen at them.
So, Larry, do you think that Muddy and the British Invasion and bringing the blues back to America has also helped you to play internationally and to be recognized as you are?
Well, look, just like with me, Luther Allison, Jimi Hendrix, all those guys, I mean, when over here, I mean, we're not so much in love with the blues as we would like people to think, and that's why so many blues musicians have to go to Europe. And when they go over there, they're welcome with open arms. And yes, of course, I heard about Muddy and all those guys having to go over there, so of course I went over there. My first record was released over there, and every record label I've been on since has been from over there.
And so, Bill, when is the gala, and what do they need to do to get to come?
Well, gala's going to be this Thursday, August the 22nd. It's going to be at the Capitol Park State Museum in Spanish Town and 4th Street. Tickets are $35. It's going to be a wonderful evening. Henry and Kenny Neal will be performing. There's going to be just an array of wonderful blues-oriented events, and it's going to be worth your while to show up.
Okay, and Larry Garner will be there as well. See you all at the Blues Gala Thursday. I'm Maxine Crumpet. I've been in for Jim Inkster, and it's been a pleasure. Have a good evening.
Are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Inkster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.